Let's pray to get started. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for this evening that we can worship you and remember you coming down to earth as a baby. Lord, I pray that you would bring glory to yourself by speaking to each of our hearts now. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Allow us tonight to worship you, to remember you, and to give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure most of you remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life, especially during Thanksgiving. It's played quite a bit. If you're like me, you can't watch the whole thing and come to the end without really being moved, moved to tears often for myself. Well, the movie stars Jimmy Stewart, who plays the character George Bailey. George is a hardworking, faithful, and servant-hearted banker who has had his run of bad luck and ends up at a bar on Christmas Eve. When George sits down at the bar, he's at the lowest point of his life. His bank has lost $8,000. He's threatened his Uncle Billy's life, not knowing that he did not lose the money. He lashes out at his wife and his kids on Christmas Eve, and old man Potter, who was his competitor, was threatening him. In fact, he issued a warrant out for his arrest. And in desperation, he begs Potter to loan him the money so that he wouldn't face the bank examiners without that money. And of course, he's turned down. As he sits at the bar looking to drink his worries away and his problems away, he prays, "Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you are up there, you can hear me. Show me the way. I am at the end of my rope. Show me the way. Show me the way, God." Right after praying, George is confronted by the husband of one of his kids' school teacher. George had yelled at her over the phone just a little while ago, berated her, and her husband, in response, punches him in the face. Now, George gets up and mutters to himself, "That's what I get for praying." Now, some of you probably feel the same way, don't you? Well, that punch in the mouth was not the answer to prayer, although it seemed like it was well deserved. His answer to prayer was an angel named Clarence and a new lease on life. In George and Clarence's first conversation, as they dry out in the bridge toll house, the angel is up front right away about why he's come. He says, "George, your lip is bleeding." "Yeah, I got that. I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer a little while ago." "Oh, no, George. I'm the answer to your prayer," says Clarence. "That's why I was sent down here." Now, George is very skeptical that Clarence is actually an angel at first. But afterwards, George is shown what his life would look like if it had been lived without him. And nobody recognizes him anymore. After Mary runs away from him, and the cop fires a shot at him, he comes to his second moment of desperation. The first, of course, was at the bar when he cried out and he prayed. And so what does he do? He prays to Clarence. He prays again, Clarence, help me, Clarence. Get me back. I don't care what happens to me. Only get me back to my wife and kids. Help me, Clarence. Please. I want to live again." And what happens? The snow begins to fall, and Zuzu's petals return to his pocket, and hope returns to the soul of a man who only a short time earlier was prepared to commit suicide. That, and not the punch from the school teacher's husband, is George's answer to prayer. The answer to prayer was the will to live again. We have all been on that bridge of desperation at some point in our lives. And the answer is not found within ourselves, and it's certainly not found at a bar trying to drink away our problems. It's found when we are desperate enough to pray, "Dear Heavenly Father." You could say, "I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there, you can hear me. Show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God." Now, this story is heartwarming, and it's endearing, and it's enduring because of this wonderful message of hope. Now, it fascinates us because we just imagine what life would look like without us, if we were never born or if we left Earth prematurely. What would my life be like What would life be like for my wife and my kids or the people I care about if I'd never been born? How would the lives of others be affected? Those that I love and I care about, if it turned out I were gone? Well, this is exactly the question that the Apostle Paul explores in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul elaborates on what life would be like if there were no resurrection from the dead, and if Jesus Christ had never been resurrected, as many had believed at this time. Now, before exploring this question about the resurrection of Jesus, I just want you to imagine for your moment. I want you to imagine life without Jesus. First of all, we can all acknowledge that we would not be sitting here together, would we? Most of us would not even know each other if we were not sitting in this room. We were not part of this church. Without Jesus, the night that Jesus was born, that manger, that stable, would have been empty, would have been unused. Joseph and Mary, an engaged couple, go to Bethlehem for a census, and it would have been check, check, that's it. That's all that would have been recorded that night. No star leading the three magi from the east. No last trip for Jesus entering into Jerusalem, where he was honored with palm branches and songs of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna. There would be no all-night wrestling and prayer as the weight of sin was put on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. There would be no betrayal with a kiss from someone that you loved. There would be no crowds crying out to Pilate, "Crucify him, crucify him." There would be no flogging. There would be no crown of thorns. There would be no carrying the cross through the streets of Jerusalem. No nails driven through his hands and through his feet. And no sign above his head reading, "Jesus, King of the Jews." There would be no forgiveness for the thief on his left. And no forgiveness for those who are mocking him and spitting on him and who crucified him as he calls out to God and says, "God, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." There would be no final words of Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And there would be no burial. There would be no resurrection. There would be no forgiveness of sins and no indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And there would be no hope of eternal life. If Jesus were never born in that baby, as a baby in that manger, we would not have hope. And if he were just a man, we wouldn't remember him, let alone celebrate him. Well, thankfully, someone who saw Jesus face to face with his own eyes, someone who saw Jesus in person after he was resurrected, he decided to write a letter reassuring believers like you and me that Jesus Christ, in fact, was raised from the dead, that there is hope in Christ. It is not a fantasy that you believe in. It is something that can sustain you, a hope. This is how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 14. Paul says this, "And if Christ had not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else in the world." The story about baby Jesus is heartwarming and it is enduring because of the wonderful message of hope. Hope that God loves us. Hope that Jesus paid the price for our sins. And hope that he was resurrected. And one day we will all enjoy eternal life in heaven with him. Now, no doubt, some here this evening, Christmas is a difficult time of year. Loved ones have passed on. Finances are tight. Relationships are strained. You can't hardly talk to somebody about their family without saying, "Yeah, we got to go see your family." It's always a struggle every year. your life might feel a little bit like George Bailey's life. You have struggled to do the right thing. You've remained faithful to serving those who need you. And all you seem to get for your effort is more stress, more problems, more demands, and no appreciation. For George Bailey, all it took was for an angel to show him the life of his beloved family, his beloved wife and town without him, to wake him up to the amazing blessing of life that God had given him. When Clarence the angel sends George back, all of his problems still exist. But his perspective has changed. Even before his fortunes were restored with the financial gifts, he had a new outlook on life, a new zeal for life. Just seeing his wife again, hugging his kids again, and seeing his house decorated for Christmas brought joy back into his life. Hope was restored. Joy filled the air. All because of this short prayer of desperation. Lord, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God. So I challenge you this Christmas, no matter the difficulties that you have faced this year, no matter the heartaches that you're experiencing right now, and no matter the uncertain future, to reflect on the baby Jesus born in the manger. Listen to these words of the angel speaking to the frightened shepherds as Christ's birth is announced. Luke chapter 2. The angel says to these shepherds, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that brings great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is well pleased." Let your hearts be filled with joy at the good news. Your Savior, the Messiah, God's Holy Son, did come. He did die for your sins. He did come back to life, and He is coming again. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised again when He comes back. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this glorious, wonderful, and amazing truth that inspires hope in all of our hearts. Father, I pray that each one of us would be motivated and stirred during this season to remember You, to remember the baby Jesus as He was to start, but as He was right now. Or as He is right now, our Lord, our Savior, sitting at Your right hand. I ask You to remind us of all the gifts that we have been given in this life, friends, family, our jobs, our church family. We have peace. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, thank You for all You have blessed us with. Lord, bring glory to Yourself as we call out to You in our times of distress. Show me the way, God. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way. We thank You, Lord, that You are faithful to answer that cry, to answer that prayer. And right now, we just want to praise You and honor You in Jesus' name. Amen.